Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Tennessee season comes to an end last night in the College World Series against LSU. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. Wes, good morning. How you doing?
Doing all right. How y'all doing this morning?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So Tennessee, obviously, Wes, just couldn't get the bats going last night. They get shut out 5-0 against LSU, and their season comes to an end. What were your takeaways from the game last night? And I guess how disappointing is it that the lineup, when you needed it really the most, just couldn't come through last night for the Vols?
Yeah, it was a disappointing night, obviously. It wasn't the first time this postseason that they kind of started slowly and made some mistakes and kind of got themselves into a tough spot. It was just the first time they couldn't really get themselves out of it. You know, it just seemed like when you get to this stage of the season, you know, there's really no shame in losing. You'd just rather lose on your own terms. Kind of you'd rather get beat than beat yourself. And Tennessee just kind of beat itself during that game. You know, LSU scored 5 runs. 4 of them, I would say, Tennessee directly gave to LSU, like, here you go, you know, happy birthday. And that's disappointing, certainly, for Tennessee. You know, there were so many good storylines the past couple months. They played, with few exceptions, they played really, really good baseball down the stretch to get themselves in that position. And then to have things kind of open up for them, you know, they had more pitching arms, good available arms than LSU did going into that game, at least on paper and by a long way. But then they get to the matchup, they can't hit lefties again. They have some defensive issues again. The bottom of the lineup becomes a liability again. Just a lot of old things that they thought they'd kind of covered up, re-exposed themselves a little bit and in a bad way.
So I'm looking at what Rucker, Legacy of 2023 Vols, No Simple Matter. Great column by Wes. It's posted 7 hours ago. Wes getting up early for us, so we appreciate that. Well, how much sleep did you get there, buddy?
I don't know. Probably about 3.5 hours, 4 hours, somewhere in that range.
Okay. Well,
not what you would call ideal, but we're all right.
Because I was going to ask if you could stay for maybe like an hour and a half with us. You know, we could break down each inning. Would that be football with you?
Let's go pitch by pitch.
Yeah. But it is. It's a great column at GoVols 24/7, and I agree with the idea. Like, basically, you know, when it comes down to it, you got a preseason number 2 team, didn't get to the Senate, didn't win at all. So you could look at that as a disappointment. I think it is a disappointing team in terms of what it was supposed to be and what it turned out to be. And yet, Wes, like you said, Tony Vitello, you know, love this team. Look at all that it did. And my question for you is, you know, just what this team did in the last few weeks in particular to get the first win in Omaha since 2001 and to give this program 2 out of 3 years with the College World Series sandwiched around the best team in college baseball that, you know, didn't get there. But still, like, how different does this look for the program for this team to have done what it did, as opposed to had it just continued on the trajectory, you know, what would people be saying right now about Tennessee baseball?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's hard to kind of say what if, but to kind of get the win in Omaha again, to kind of do it the way they did it too. I mean, it's hard to go win a regional and a super regional on the road because you got to go eliminate good teams in their own yard. And that's a tough thing to do, really. And Tennessee overcame some deficits to do it. Tennessee had to really overcome deficits against really good pitchers. Tennessee did a lot of good things the past couple weeks and really had some kind of just special moments. You know, the stuff Zane Denton did in those couple games, certainly what Chase Burns did in a couple games, just the big hits and big spots that they had, the plays they made, overcoming the odds they did against really good pitchers. They did so many good things, but it gets back to they were ranked, fairly or unfairly, number 2 going into the season, despite having to replace basically the entire offense. And that's why Tony Vitello consistently, and this didn't start like you know, recently he said at the time, hey, this is not the number two team in the country. He goes, I hope it gets there, but it's not the number two team in the country right now. And it turned out early in the season, Vitello was right. You know, they didn't look great, but they kind of kept playing. They never quit. They made themselves into a pretty good team. They covered up a lot of the holes. But at the end, there were just too many exposed nerves, as I guess as I think the way I wrote it, to avoid hurting yourself. At some point, one of these things, a few of these things put together, was going to be too much to go win a championship. And that kind of proved to be the case. So it was an erratic year, kind of a back and forth year, kind of a, you know, one of those deals. But they ended up making something out of it, just not a lot, just not as much as some people fairly or unfairly think they should have.
Wes Rucker with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So obviously, Wes, a couple of huge performances by Chase Burns over the last couple of weeks. In those performances, what did you learn about Chase Burns, or maybe what were you reminded of about Chase Burns as it relates to him, his future, and what that could mean for Tennessee as they move forward?
Yeah, you know, it showed that the kid's got some toughness to him. I mean, when you get moved out of the starting rotation into the bullpen and you're that kind of a talent, you know, you can go one of two ways, right? You can either kind of pout your way into that situation and it doesn't get better, or you can kind of fight your way through it. And he fought his way through it. And his stuff's so electric that getting down to the pen really kind of opened some things up for him. And then the last couple of appearances, he started throwing a couple more curveballs that turned into a devastating weapon, a changeup that turned into a really devastating weapon. And that, if he can throw those four pitches and throw them that effectively and maintain something like that velocity, he's right back into the starting rotation next season and in a big way. And then you get yourself in a situation where you can get taken in the first round, you can get called up to the bullpen very early in your professional career, and then still be developed into a starter in the long run, or at least have a chance to do that. You know, we saw that with Garrett Crochet, who got drafted a couple years ago, went almost directly to the majors like a month later or something in the bullpen. And then, you know, the Sox, if he can get healthy, might try to use him as a starter down the road. So, you know, assuming everything works out, you never know with the transfer portal and NIL deals that could be out there. And you never assume, don't ever assume anyone's going to come right back to the team they were on last season, because college sports is a whole new thing these days. But assuming everything works out that way and he's back, yeah, I mean, he and Beam, you know, that's a really good way to start a pitching staff for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that would be probably as good a 1-2 punch as you would have. Like you said, I mean, you pencil them in, but I guess you don't know for sure. But speaking of the portal, how much work does Tony Vitello need to do there, Wes? Obviously, I mean, he did some good work last offseason, three key guys in the lineup, but now some serious losses there. That part of the team was, you know, not what they were hoping for overall, right? I guess in particular against lefties. You do have a class coming in. You got some young guys coming up here. But how much in your mind, like how many difference makers is he going to have to find in the portal to be able to be back here and have a chance to knock at the door again next year?
Yeah, Joe, they're certainly going to have to get a few pieces, right? I mean, they need some more right-handed bats for certain. You know, they might very well need to go get a shortstop again. You know, they got some young guys they can develop for sure. But, you know, they might have to go might have to go to the portal there. We'll see if Denton decides to come back for a final season of college baseball or not. That's going to be huge. There's always a couple arms. I know that big lefty from Xavier, who's a good player. Tennessee and LSU were kind of battling for him. LSU got him in the end. You know, Tennessee wasn't able to host a regional or a super regional, which actually kind of hurt in terms of getting some guys on campus for portal visitors, because if you can't really host them if you're not in town, you know what I mean? So they need to get some work done there the next couple weeks. They're going to add some guys to the portal. They're also going to lose some guys to the portal because that's the nature of the business these days. But they've got really, they got really good classes coming in each of the next couple of years that they have worked for years to get, and they feel really, really good about. But they will need to supplement through the portal because it's just, I've never at any level of baseball seen a team that didn't have a single quality right-handed option off the bench as a hitter. And they didn't have one at all. So they need to get maybe a shortstop, a catcher, some right-handed bats, another couple arms. I mean, their shopping list for the portal, it's not, huge, but it's substantial.
Well, Wes, really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Go get you some sleep, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, guys, I always have to be on with you. Have a good day.
We'll call you at 8. Yeah, we'll call you in a little while.
I'll be right here. Don't worry.
Thanks, bud. Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols. Their season comes to an end last night against LSU. They lose 5-0 in the College World Series. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Coming up on June 28th at 6 o'clock, it's draft night in Smashville with Robbie Stanley. That's me. Willie Donick, Max Herz, and Chase McCabe live from Bridgestone Arena for the 2023 NHL Draft. We're looking forward to that. A week from today is the first round of the NHL Draft at Bridgestone Arena.
It's like Battle of the Network Stars,
man. It is. It's going to be intense.
Yeah. So, wait a minute. Wait, will there be any Jared Wining involved?
Not on my program.
I think you guys should at least like have him ready on Zoom. Like if he's mad about the pick. Oh, my God.
I would love to get his thoughts on the Predators' first-round pick next week. As soon as they select him.
I think you should plan on that.
I would love that.
And then you can be tell me three things about this prospect.
I would love to get his thoughts on that.
Ooh, is that a little shade from the show? I like it. On our way out, huh? I'm going to throw some shade at Jared on your way out. Finally.
I like it. By the way, we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe, the Vols haters are out this morning. Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line says, nothing is better than watching the Vols lose. I think Dustin is a Kentucky fan.
Woo, go Dustin!
The distinguished gentleman on YouTube, who I believe is a Georgia fan, says, can the Vols win anything, SMH? Vandy got an SEC championship. Yikes. Participation ribbons. Got to get over the hump in something. And my father, who's an Alabama fan, texted me and said, ah, that lovely time of the year when all the Vol programs begin to sing the ballad of wait till next year. They're out today.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Vandy comeback of them winning the SEC is really good. But
again, I think he's a Georgia fan. But I don't know why Vandy got thrown in there.
I will swing the flags when Vols fans are upset.
Yeah, throw some shit at the Vols fans too. Yeah, I mean the SEC, like, you know, there's not a college baseball team in the history of college baseball that would pick a conference tournament title over, Omaha.
No, there's not.
Any team ever.
We are waiting in this golden age for the Vols to finish the deal on something, gotta finish the deal. I meant to ask Wes a golden age question.
Call him back.
I figure we should let him pass back out. Hopefully he doesn't have like a 9 a.m. flight out of there.
Joe, how do you think this team should be remembered? It's a complicated legacy, and Wes wrote about this a little bit too, which is pretty interesting. They're number two in the rankings heading into the year. We knew the talent that they had, especially with their starting pitching. And think back to what their starting pitching looked like to begin the year. It was Chase Burns, Chase Dolander, Drew Beam, and it was hard. I mean, on paper, you looked at that and you said, man, does anybody in the country have a better starting rotation than Tennessee has? We know what happened, and obviously Andrew Lindsay came in there, and Chase Burns went to the bullpen and all those things, and it shook out a little differently than we expected heading into the season. But you get to the point where you win the Vanderbilt series, you sweep Vanderbilt, and you look great while doing it. And really, from that point on, they never really looked back at that point. They go to the regional. They beat Clemson in that epic game. They win in the super regional against Southern Miss, and they punch their ticket to Omaha for the second time in the last three seasons. They win a game in Omaha for the first time since 2001. So, I mean, this is, in some ways, pretty unfamiliar territory for Tennessee as a program, what they've done here. And yet, there is that disappointment of losing to LSU, only winning one game in Omaha for a team that was ranked number two in the preseason heading into the season. So as you look at this team
and the journey that it's been for this group to get to Omaha, how do you think this group should be remembered?
Well, I think they should be remembered as a team that dramatically turned around its season and gave some thrilling moments to Tennessee fans. I mean, the Zane Denton home run against Clemson, the comeback at Southern Miss with their ace on the mound, a 4-0 deficit, the comeback against Quinn Matthews, Stanford. I mean, it's two of the best pitchers in college baseball. They're down 4-0 to both of them. Roared back to win both games, one to get to Omaha, one to win a game in Omaha for the first time in 22 freaking years. I mean, so, like, Tony Vitello has one-third of this program's College World Series appearances, and we're talking about a disappointment right now. Two years after, like, them getting to Omaha for the first time in forever was this huge thing that was celebrated. So it was really an amazing season, amazing turnaround. And, yes, it was not a team – it was not the team it was supposed to be. There are several, you know, individuals. I think people were hoping, like, Blake Burke would take a huge step. He still was good this year, and you see the power he has and the potential. But, you know, Blake Burke and some of those other guys in that lineup, you know, probably wanted a little bit more, like Wes Rucker was saying, maybe a little bit more of the right-handed bats. And then, you know, like Chase Dolander was really good this year. He's going to go high in the draft, but you're still talking about a guy who had like a 4.6 ERA.
Right.
And then Chase Burns falls out of the rotation because he's struggling so much early against SEC teams. But then in the end, you know, those guys had huge moments too. It just wasn't quite what it was supposed to be. And, yeah, I mean, I think Vitello was right from the start. They were a little bit overrated because they lost so much from that lineup. They were the most fearsome team in the sport easily last year offensively. They were a nightmare for teams. But it was based on the pitching. I mean, that ranking was based on the pitching. I think next year they're going to be ranked high too, based on the pitching. But we'll see with the lineup, you know. But I mean, ultimately, it's absurd how things have changed and how I think people follow this team now. And how they now have gotten themselves. I mean, they're the only SEC team to make two of the last three College World Series, and that's usually a SEC playland. So it's a team that, again, I'll throw the hypothetical at you. You know, if they had just continued on the path, you would be talking about, okay, let's see, nice job, Vitello in 21. You know, you've been recruiting well. You had an incredible team last year, but you guys choked. And now this year you go down and you're way under expectations. Where are things going here? Right?
Yeah, it'd be a fair question. I mean,
and now I don't think there's any question about where things are going.
Yeah, I mean, look, Tony Vitello has turned this into a really good baseball program. I mean, there's no question about it. And you know, we can have the Vanderbilt Tennessee thing. I still think there's probably work to be done for Tennessee to get into the Vanderbilt echelon. I mean, you need to win at least one championship before we start having that discussion, probably.
And there's time, too. It's hard to do it over time.
Right. And I know Tennessee's had a ton of success against Vanderbilt lately, but there's no question that Tony Vitello – one of the things I ask, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, especially at the college level, when you have coaches that come in and they have immediate success – how sustainable is it? I mean, that's one of the questions that I ask. And I think the one thing that we have learned now is that this is pretty sustainable. Like, I think Tony Vitello, as long as he's there at Tennessee, they're going to be pretty darn good. I think we've seen enough from them at this point to know from a recruiting standpoint, a portal standpoint, you know, development of players, all those things that you care about at the college level. I think we know that they're not going anywhere. They're going to be a good team as they move forward here. So, you know, how many kicks to the can are they going to get before they break down the door and win a national championship? I have no idea. Is next year's team going to be able to get back to Omaha and be a factor? I don't know. You know, as Wes brought up, it's hard to predict things nowadays in the college landscape with the transfer portal being what it is. And certainly they need to, assuming that they keep Burns and all these other guys with their pitching staff, they've got to address the lineup in some form or fashion. So it's going to be a different looking Tennessee team next year. But they're going to be good. I think we've seen enough from Vitello and his staff to know that they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right. And, Tennessee baseball, I would say, matters to Tennessee fans so much more. Because that's what happens. You have a program that's just not good. I mean, I would imagine that kind of maybe between Pearl and Barnes, or like pre-Pearl, like men's basketball, I was kind of like, whatever.
Yeah,
it
was.
How's spring football looking, right? And this is what I'm talking about. Easy. Boy, you're just going to rip everyone on the way out, aren't you?
Just trying to bring the feistiness.
Yeah. Well,
Kentucky's going to win 11 games of basketball next year. It's going to be awesome.
Hush.
Got like four dudes on the
roster. I'm very worried.
Four guys on the roster, and their average age is 16.
Exactly.
But this is, again, this is what I'm talking about. And actually, I did the SEC, but I've looked around, too, a little bit. Now, I'm not going to say I've done extensive research. I would argue that Tennessee has, of those five sports we've talked about, is had as good a year or a better year than any other university in the country in that regard. But college baseball, this college baseball team still, to me, is the best chance for an actual national championship anytime soon. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Joe Milton will just throw the ball through the wall from Knoxville right here and hit me in the head and, you know, wake me up. It's maybe football does.
By the way, I mean, Vitello, take a look at him. Like, hey, man, 1 year.
Well,
closer.
Milton at the Orange Bowl was talking about how, like, he was trying baseball. I was like, dude, you must throw like 120. Yeah, seriously, get him out there.
Just injure the catcher.
Oh, my God.
Here's
gosh.
Rick Vaughn coming in.
But I think, you know, I think a national championship, I understand. You got to win a championship for sure. It could happen. It could happen next year for this team, but they're going to be knocking at the door, and that's what you have to do. Like, are you built to keep having cracks at it? And I think they are.
We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Tennessee eliminated last night in the College World Series. How should this team be remembered? What do you make of Tennessee's baseball program and their chances to break down the door and win a national title as they move forward here? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
There's a variety of tradition within each program, and it takes a lot in our league to be able to brag about tradition. But for us in particular, we wanted to get to a regional, and then we wanted to have a roster that was really athletic that you guys would be excited to write about, and, you know, COVID's whatever, and then we wanted to get here, and we didn't win any games. And then we wanted to get here again and win a game, and this group did it. And, you know, I skipped a year, but boys that are a part of 22, give it a couple years, and you'll get yours. No national championship, but pretty special group that will be remembered by everybody in this room for a lot of stuff, love them or hate them. I love them.
That was Tony Vitello after the loss to LSU last night. Tennessee falls 5-0. They are eliminated from the College World Series. Taking your thoughts on the Vols, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay-by-TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Vitello covering like the whole path last night. That was interesting.
Yeah, he can bounce around top, you know, on topics. Gordon from Nashville brings up a good point. How long will it take UT to win it all? Don't know. Ask Arkansas. And that is a great example of a program that absolutely has been consistently excellent, knocking on the door, got to the finals in 18.
Yeah.
Zero natties. Zero natties for Arkansas. Whereas, let's see, who has natties? Holy Cross, Rice.
Cal State Fullerton.
Cal State Fullerton, you know, beat the Vols in that 95 in the semis, actually. Wichita State, et cetera, et cetera. That's a great point. I mean, there's no guarantee. And at some point, like with Arkansas, and especially you think about that team 21, the team they had in 21 that lost at home to NC State in the Supers, like that's a situation where you're like, I mean, Arkansas fans, I'm sure, are just like, it'll never happen, right? Like it doesn't matter that you knock on the door anymore because it's like, yeah, but you haven't won one, right?
Well, as Tim Corbin says, it's a different place when you got grown men with pig faces.
That is right. And speaking of Tim Corbin, this is where I love this whole discussion, because I love when Vols and Vandy fans get mad about the other one getting mentioned, you know?
Oh, me too.
Like, for example, I just tweeted out my column on the Vols, and Clay Phillip, who's a Vandy, you know, Vandy Twitter, you know.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah, extraordinaire.
Immediately quote tweets, LOLs, anchor down, because I wrote, like, what does it say about the program, you know? Because, again, like, Vandy fans are like, your program is garbage, you know? I mean, you haven't done anything. I mean, again, it's Ted Knight.
you know, looking at Rodney Dangerfield in the pro shot, like, get out of my, get off my club, yep. get out of Bushwood. Yep. You do not belong here. I don't know,
the
man.
Hatred is real.
Rodney Dangerfield's bought a bunch of condos. He's wearing the plaid pants. He's got the little golf thing that lines up the putt. Beep, 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 beep. Playing Journey. I'm just saying, man, you're going to have to deal with it.
I got a text that says Chase Burns will transfer to Vanderbilt and win a national championship next season. Unhappy with his switch to the bullpen. How about that?
Now, that would make that's the type of stuff we need this summer. We've entered the dead period of no sports. This is the type of thing we need. Speaking of that, you know, Justine Passat is at Vanderbilt. Huge recruit for Kelly Harper last year. Five-star, McDonald's All-American, didn't play much. She's at Vanderbilt now.
It's amazing how you weave college basketball into every discussion.
We're just talking about the rivalry, man. Talking about the golden era.
Do you think Chase Burns is upset if he's moved to the bullpen? I mean, he's going to be back. He's going to be a starter next year, right?
Well, I will, again, I think I mentioned this the other day. I'm not saying I expect anything, but there definitely have been the question from outside the program, at least, about, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Is that going to be? To me, it's like, I mean, look at what it did for him. You know, and maybe he just did it or whatever, but something changed. Maybe you take a little pressure off. He found his stuff, and yeah, I mean, next year he's the Friday starter and Drew Beam is the Saturday starter, or vice versa.
Yep.
But like Wes said, wait until the rosters are, you know, printed out and, you know, all the dates have passed to get in the portal before you assume anything.
Mark on YouTube says, this is for the Vols fan who called the midday show a couple weeks ago. Ha, 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 in all capital letters. Another disappointment. Tim Corbin will win another natty before Tony Choke Vitello will.
There we go.
From Mark on YouTube.
There we go. See? Now we got the Vols.
Hatred is real.
I
said this a couple weeks ago, and it's kind of amazing me. Like, there is more trash talk, I think, really between both fan bases, between Tennessee and Vanderbilt and baseball, than football or basketball or anything else. There really is. And I don't know if it's just because they're good at both.
Yeah.
Like, but
I think that's it.
But I mean, usually football is where there's trash talk, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not really a common denominator.
But the funny thing about that is, like, Vanderbilt had a stretch where they actually were winning. But now it, you know, I mean, like this year it was like, ooh, it could be dangerous for Tennessee. And then
it was not.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, too, in basketball, when Vandy won this year, I mean, Vandy fans, you didn't even take advantage of that. We didn't have a lot of trash talking. This is like to another level.
Yeah, but this is their sport, and this has been their domain for a long time. And like, again, Tennessee hasn't been good, hasn't cared much, and now it's like, yes, baseball, baseballs, Omaha Vols. I mean, you know, this is good stuff. This is when rivalries get spicy. Sean says Jared said that LSU bought that win. LOL. So I'm talking about the
portal.
Yeah, the portal and the NIL. I mean, there's a lot of money spread around Again, like, hey, you talk about trying to win it all? Get Paul Skeens, a guy who might be the number one pick. Get Tommy White, 22 homers, 98 ribbies, coming over from NC State. All of a sudden, prosper. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like it or not, that's why LSU has a chance, although I still question whether they're going to be waked twice.
Yeah. Well, you talk about golden age. I mean, LSU, women's basketball championship, potentially baseball. Football, I think, is going to be good next year.
They did just win a national
title. Let's not mention the men's basketball program.
Listen, they're on the come up.
Are they?
They were really bad last year.
Yeah.
Well, it's just gone downhill ever since Will Wade. But listen, there's time.
But
go portal shopping.
Shaq have any?
But they do have the natty, and I think they're going to be good in football. What's that?
Shaq have any eligibility left?
I don't know.
He probably does.
I remember watching Shaq play, unlike you two.
I mean, I watched him play in the NBA.
Yeah, that's true.
I watch his highlights.
Shaq, Stanley Roberts, and Chris Jackson at LSU, and they didn't win every single game by 20 points. It's actually incredible.
Well, when you're playing against Willie Donick on the other side, how are you going to win by 20?
Willie Donick pump fake. Come on.
Willie Donick just swatting dunk a tip from Shaq out of the way.
Wait, did they actually Shaq's play head? Against each other?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, ask Willie Donick about that team. I mean, anybody remembers that team, that 1990, right, yeah. LSU team? And you're talking about
– why have I never heard him be like, yeah, I played against Shaq? I mean, he needs – that is cool, Willie.
It is cool. A lot of other – I mean, the Kentucky guys he played against then, too.
But Wiley Shaq. DeNuke.
Yeah, right, yeah. That's like, just get out of the
Willie's
way.
Willie's boxing out Shaq.
Just when he almost pulls the backboard down.
I don't know how we got into that. But, yeah, I mean, it's the rivalry's intense between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. I mean, the text line's full of it right now. Tennessee fans sniping back at Vanderbilt fans. Vanderbilt fans getting in there. There were a lot of happy Vanderbilt fans last night. Big Orange Mac had some tweets that I cannot read on the air, sniping back at Vanderbilt fans.
Oh, did he?
Ball Twitter's upset with Vanderbilt.
Did they involve some of his – oh, yeah, this is the day that you got to be careful looking at Big Orange Mac.
Well, the big question is, what do fans like better? Do they like when they just win in advance, or do you like hate watching? Because the hate watching and cheering when the other program loses, I feel like is almost more prevalent than when they actually win themselves.
Oh no, there's some of that for sure. The hate watching is very strong, and yeah, and that's great. I mean that's why college rivalries are awesome. And yeah, it's just there's just isn't any other thing with Tennessee and Vanderbilt that gets it going like that.
And the thing is, they're both going to be really good again next year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's going to be – we've talked about before, I need them to play each other in Omaha at some point. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be for the national championship, although that'd be great. I need them to play in Omaha against each other at some point. Maybe next year's the year.
Yeah, I'm here for that for sure. And, yeah, next year – both of them have lineup questions. You know, there's a higher likelihood Tennessee can address through the portal. It's a little bit more challenging for Vanderbilt. But, you know, they got R.J. Schreck from Duke last year, so it's not like they don't do it. They both should have, you know, really good pitching. And, hey, that's still baseball, right? You start with the pitching.
Jeff in Kingston Springs says, since we're taking shots on the way out the door, perhaps it's timely to remind that there is only one of 14 SEC schools that has never made it to Omaha.
Blah.
BBN. This is from Jeff in Kingston Springs.
I didn't know that. Is that right?
Count the Natties. I don't care. We're not a baseball team.
That's right, because Missouri, although that was pretty
SEC. Yes, Kentucky did win a whole lot of national championships in basketball in 1950. It's good.
And how many does Tennessee have? No.
Fair. Fair
zero.
Counterpoint. I don't know, man.
Zero. That's fair. Zilch.
We need to – I mean, well, actually, you're about to rant. Is this going to be like just taking shots at everybody you want to take shots at, like, on we're the way out the door?
You've attacked people Jared? Up out there.
You've attacked Jared today?
No.
You've
attacked I'd like to Tennessee address fans? Every Tennessee fan individually.
Yeah. What else do you got?
Listen, I got to just get it all out now. Like, I – listen, and you know what's going to happen is Kentucky's going to be, like, really good next year. And the vault – and I just –
I don't think you have to worry about that.
I'll be calling in.
You're going to have to become a regular caller. You may have to bump Mark out of the way for some extra time on the air.
Michelle from New Orleans.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. I think it's going to be just the same as it's been.
Call me when you have a national championship in this golden age.
Hey, I didn't say it was a golden age. He did.
I stand by.
Where's the gold?
It's consistent excellence among all the programs.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Red Rant with Michelle Knezovic. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
She can be fiery when you make her mad.
Are you kidding? I'm working.
It's Michelle's turn for the Red Rant.
Look, you can't pull me out of this right now.
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for the Red Rant with Michelle Knezovic. You can check it out every morning at 7:45, either the Rob Rant, the Rex Rant, or the Red Rant. Michelle Knezovic, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Okay, well, I did promise a rap, and I was in the phase of writing it, but don't worry, we have our last show together on Monday. And it's a lot harder than it looks. So I just think we need to also recognize the fact that you wrote one, Rex wrote. I didn't think it'd be that hard. I like sat down, I picked a song, and then I was like, wait, this is actually really hard. And then I started to try to rap it, and I was kind of rehearsing it for Moran in Chicago, and he just started laughing and was like, maybe we'll just go a different route because I'm very unmusical.
She said, Rex Road can do it. Piece of cake.
So I thought.
This better be Wu-Tang.
You made it look really easy. So. Although I don't have a rant, I decided
it's easy to look like an idiot.
I decided that I would write a list of 10 things that must continue while I depart the show. A list of 10 rules.
Oh.
And then also my thank yous at the end.
Oh, boy.
as we begin, and I'm very happy that there's not a camera on me right now because there might be a tear, and we're not going to have a camera on me, so that's just great. Number one, Joe, eat black licorice in moderation, please. Oh, and we have to chill with the shellfish and the red meat because we want to avoid the gout at all costs. Okay, so that's what we want to think of. Health, number one.
Beer.
Yeah, okay, and beer, too. Two, Robbie, you're going to be a dad soon.
I am.
And I really want you to prepare for your daughter to be a Kentucky fan.
Oh, God.
Just like your dad is an Alabama fan and you decided to be a UT fan.
You know, we do live not that far away from the Kentucky state line.
Yeah.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, not that far away.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping this doesn't happen. There are a lot of Kentucky fans where I live.
Don't let me meet her because I'll be giving her a little blue onesie.
BBN foam fingers.
Oh, man.
Three, Robbie. I'm really proud of you for stepping up your coffee game.
Thank you.
We're going to need you to step it up a little bit more because I won't be here to deliver at least three coffees a day.
Well, that is true. This is a new development. I'm only on cup two today.
Honestly, Michelle leaving is kind of sweet. Like, we're going to have a lot of coffee.
Even though I pay like $12 in Uber Eats mine, which is so bad. And I know my mom's listening. Sorry, Mom. Okay, four. Now that I won't be here, Joe, you're required to wear another hat. GB Joe. GB Joe. Vandy Joe, and now BBN Rex.
Oh, okay. So has that time come?
I am giving you that honor.
Okay.
Number five.
I can do that.
Although I won't be here through the NFL season, Robbie, please no tears when the Packers don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Jordan Love.
Well, who says that?
I do. It can't happen.
Oh, it can happen.
Number six. To the text line. Please, my Kentucky texters, you're required to bring the Catterday energy every Friday during Pigskin Pick'em.
Dustin?
It's on you.
Dustin. Who we got? We got Dustin out there. Who else?
I think Keith and Bowling Green. I think he's
Keith
and
Bowling Green.
Man.
Yeah. Okay.
We got some out there.
We got some BBN out there.
Number seven, I promise to watch some movies on the list. Office Space will be number one.
Really?
Okay.
Yes. Now, are you going to make it through the first 15 minutes?
I swear it's worth it.
I will trust Rex Road.
Trust me.
Joe, number eight. Joe, please keep pushing the limit with Robbie when it comes to college basketball content that sneaks into the show. I know we got some last segment. Please keep it coming because I will not be here to derail and continue the college basketball comment.
It's a conspiracy between you two.
I will, believe me, I will do my darndest.
Number nine. Please don't ever stop the dad jokes, the awkward moments, the Jason Bateman references, shout out Katie Rexroad, the yelling about the 12-team playoff, which is the one thing that keeps you guys on opposite sides. And Robbie, I will now give you the torch for bringing the young vibe. I already know you're on TikTok, and I just know that, Joe, that would be a little bit too much for you to handle while I'm out of the
game. TikTok this whole time?
Yes. I've been on TikTok for like 2 months, man.
He's been making videos. Yeah. He's been making videos. They're out there.
Pro, really? Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number 10.
Why has this never come up?
It has. You zoned out.
See?
You zoned out.
Old brain.
Number 10. Please let my wrong references live on. Nip it in the butt.
Yes.
The Titans. Erg. And the list goes on and on. I don't remember a lot of the rest of them. So those are my 10 rules that must be upkept. Text line, I need you to hold yourselves accountable. I will be listening to the show, and I will obviously be calling in when Kentucky is ever playing any Tennessee team.
Of course.
And now my thank yous. Whew. Thank you for welcoming a young 23-year-old who knew little to nothing about sports talk radio. Thank you for teaching me so much about the industry, the history about sports here, and learning to cover the Vols without getting irrational.
Yes.
Thank you for making me laugh at least once a day during our show. Thank you for welcoming me into your families while mine lives so far away. Thank you to our listeners for welcoming me into the Nashville community and making such an impact in my life. The support these last couple of days have been so kind. Thank you to you guys. It's been an awesome 2 years, and I'm going to miss y'all. And I said I wouldn't cry, and I did.
But you did it, though.
You powered through.
That was good.
That was well done.
Yeah. It was just the last thank yous. I remember when you did your Jack's 21st birthday or going to college or something.
Now, let's be clear here. Laughing at least once a day?
Yeah, I know. That is a little low. Like, at least like 7-8 times, maybe?
Yeah, but here's the thing. A lot of people don't laugh, you know? Like,
that's true.
Like, happiness. Like, come on, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning is not always chippy and cheer. So laughing, I feel like with our time slot and everything, 1 to 12 times a day. I mean, sometimes I get like 20 laughs in one show. Right. So there you go.
That's fine. So basically, the show did not make you laugh. That's what I'm taking away from your red rant.
Basically, your dad rants suck. No, I'm kidding. Your dad jokes aren't that funny.
I mean, I never heard the poor hyena, you know?
That was loud.
Wow. I'm really sorry. Destroyed your red
sorry
rant.
Sorry to everybody's ears. No, but seriously, thank you to everyone.
Yeah.
Because... listen, I learned to love Rocky Top. I mean, I learned to love the Vols baseball team.
Yes.
I went to Neyland Stadium. Mm. I brought the Kentucky-ness. And I also just need to throw out there that what are the odds that I go to the University of Kentucky from the years 2015 to 19? We have so many Sweet 16 runs, Elite Eights. It's great. It's fabulous. Draft picks, lottery picks, all that. Then, you know, I go to Syracuse and now, well, they sucked, so they're out of the question. But then I come here, I get this job at the station, and somehow, like, Vols fans, I know you get on me, but you're welcome, because when I came here, somehow this Vols football team, basketball team, baseball team, you're all doing really well.
It's the Golden Age.
And it made my job so annoying. What are the odds the football team has quite literally the best team in a decade? And I have to sit here and be like, well, you know, Kentucky's on the come up, and then the Vols just come out of left field. I'm like, okay.
I don't know what the odds are, but I enjoyed the heck out of it.
I don't know the odds, but somehow it happened in my year here, and the basketball team, you know, made it farther than Kentucky in the postseason. But we'll just gloss over that one for a second.
Are you taking the Golden Age with you, actually, now that you mentioned
it? Great question. Ooh. Hopefully. Just kidding. Kidding. Kidding.
Great question. But what if, like, if the Vols just fall apart next year? Like, men's basketball team's horrible. Tennessee football goes like 6-6.
Then I really will be a daily caller. Then I really will be a daily caller on the show.
Joe Milton throws 5 picks in the first game against Virginia. It's like, what's going on around here?
Oh, man.
Nico transfers
to Kentucky. Hey, Nico, why don't you head up the road a couple hours?
Will Levis becomes Hall of Fame quarterback for the Titans.
Oh, I meant to add that to the list. There were so many things that I needed to add, but I meant to add to the list when Will Levis becomes a Hall of Fame quarterback. I hope that my name is mentioned on every single show and talk about him.
Yes.
Very well done.
It was very well done. We, by the way, you're not leaving today, so we still have some time for those concerned. A week from today will be your last show with us. So I told you this yesterday. We love you. We are very happy for you. And we're very proud of you as well. So that was a very touching red rant.
You're still not allowed to go.
Yeah, he's not admitting that it's time.
Still in denial. If you can't find me, Joe has just locked me in the basement to not let me leave.
So we got that, and we got me taking Caroline Benton to the Bonnaroo. Good stuff.
It's been a great day on the show today. Oh, good gracious.
Oh, boy. My Caroline Rexroad, the one I took to Bonnaroo, my daughter, 12. She's my... family took her to Bonnaroo
for Father's Day.
She's sad.
Oh man,
she's gonna miss you.
This has been an epic day on the text line and for calling in. I mean, Mark's call earlier. We have people still talking about Mark's call earlier on the text line. It's just amazing.
And it was an honest mistake by him.
It was.
It was. Family taking my coworker here to the concert all day.
Yes.
See ya.
We'll be back later. Josh on the text line from Kentucky says, slow clap, Michelle. Or no, LOL. Anyways, BBN, we got you. I'll make sure to get under Robbie and Joe's skin when we go 6-6 in football and 12-20 in basketball this year.
From Josh in Kentucky. Yeah. Listen, even if they suck, I still want y'all to just get under their skins. So, yeah.
Well, it really gets under Rexro's skin. He's a big Vols guy.
It's true. I just really want you to promise that you'll stop rooting for Chicago teams. You know,
that'd be great.
I mean, I understand Ryan from Chicago loves his Chicago team, but you don't have, like, you can just be neutral and just hope, you know, he does well, but don't become like a Bears fan.
But here's the thing, you know, I love an underdog. And
well, they're certainly that.
If the Bears are good this year, I will be calling in.
Like a Connor Bedard jersey and stuff? Like, come on. Don't do it.
Oh, no. No, Blackhawks. Preds. I'm a Preds fan. It's my first ever. Okay. Also, the Preds is Kara Hammer, sideline reporter for the Preds, or ringside reporter. She's the reason I got this job. So shout out Kara.
There we go.
For coming here. But yeah, no, I will never root for the Blackhawks.
Okay.
TBT right, to that one time I played Chelsea Dagger and all the press fans
awesome.
Got on me.
Oh, God.
Forgot about that.
That was bad.
Fantastic.
This has been Red Rant with Michelle Knezovic. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.